Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and down, throw my hands up and down, throw my head back and down. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say
Jump up!
Sports Nation. How the heck you doing? I've been better. Technical difficulties on my end. So hopefully y'all can hear me just fine. And I'm coming in nice and loud and clear for you. But it's been a rough one so far. So now here we are. We've got a great show ahead of us. We've got some dirt racing to get caught up on. NASCAR invaded Michigan yesterday. What a race that was. So we will talk about that. Plus, we've got some special guests coming up in the second hour, sometime after 9 o'clock. So we will get them on air as well, talk to them. Scott Eldridge has been on the show before. His wife, Kelly, is a good friend of the show. So he's not on Twitter or social media, any of that. So the links that we shared on Twitter, I tagged her in. But Scott and Carson will both be on the show tonight. We'll talk to them, see how Carson is doing in his young racing career as well. So all of that coming up tonight right here on the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network. As long as it doesn't go out again, we will be right here. So keep it tuned here for the next 2 hours, hour and 45 minutes now. it's going to be a good show. I just know it. So let's do this.
From the 357 Woodworks Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fast Lane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tottich.
That's right. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. It's Monday. That means time for a brand new show right now. That's right. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fish and Game. Be sure to go to hardcorefishandgame.com tonight, tomorrow, this week, next week. If you're looking to outfit your group, maybe you have a group hunt coming up. Maybe you're in a fishing league and you need some outdoor clothing to keep you cool, to keep you warm, whatever it might be, whatever season it might be, the Hardcore Fishing Game has the clothing that you need. You can also get it customized as well. So check out hardcorefishinggame.com. Check out Margazzano Designs on Facebook. Check out Debbie G Photography on Facebook. 357 Woodworks, the wonderful sponsor of our studios. Check them out on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Find out everything you need to know about 357 Woodworks custom woodworking, whether it's a butcher block, a cutting board, a charcuterie board, or you need end tables for your bedroom or a coffee table or an entryway table. Check it out. Trophies. You need a customized trophy made? Maybe you coach T-ball or coach pitch or Little League baseball, midget football, cross country, whatever it might be. You need some custom-made trophies made? You can even check out 357 Woodworks for that as well. Racer Chasing Apparel, they are the sponsor of Talking Dirty, which we're about to do that here in just a few minutes. Also, Barbasol Shave, thank you to Barbasol again for being on board since the very beginning of the Fast Lane Sports Show. Without them, we would not have a phone line that I am currently using even to call into the show. 657-383-1903 is the number to call if you want to get on the show. I think it's time. It's about to get dirty now. Fishing Game, and it's time to do a little Talking Dirty. I got my co-host Christina on the line with me now. Christina, good evening. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. It's a great time to be alive. There's great racing, great rivalries, people pissed off, people happy. I mean, and if we want to get right to it, I mean, I'm the biggest winner of the weekend.
Yes, yes, you are. I posted the standings for our league earlier today, and Christina now has 4 wins on the year. She leads all of us with the most wins. She's got 20 bonus points going into the playoffs now. You've increased your lead quite a bit now over us for the playoffs.
That's the whole point. And to toot my own horn, I was the only one that took the 4 car, was the only one that believed in Kevin Harvick, and it came to fruition. And, I mean, I'm surprised more that people didn't take him considering his success at Michigan.
Yeah, he does. He does have the success at Michigan. But I went with Eric Jones. I mean, he's usually pretty good there. He didn't have a bad day. He ended up finishing a decent day. Yeah. And then Ryan Blaney. I'm surprised more people didn't go with Ryan Blaney. He's been pretty good at Michigan the last few years as well.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll talk more about NASCAR. Sorry, I got overzealous, got excited. I mean, I'm here to talk dirt racing. That is what I'm hired for. That's, you know, what I'm good at. And we saw some great, great racing on dirt this weekend, too.
We did. And we need to talk about that because the World of Outlaws were in Missouri. And
yes.
It was the Ironman 55 this past weekend, And we crowned a new Iron Man for 2022.
I mean, when you start on the pole, you don't have very far to go.
The Iron Man 55 started on Friday at Federated Auto Parts Raceway at I-55 in Pevely, Missouri. Friday was the night before the Iron Man. It was the qualifying race, and we saw Carson Macedo now get his 8th win on the year. That now ties Sheldon for the most. Those two have the most wins now on
and
the
by
year
two,
for 2022, both with 8. And they are back to back in the points.
Yeah, not 1 and 2 though, folks. You would think they would be 1 and 2 in the points, but they're not. Which we'll talk about that. But
as hard as they've been racing each other, you would think they were racing for first.
You would think. I mean, it is a relentless battle between those two. But granted, they are not battling for 1 and 2. It's sad, actually. They kind of should be with the way they've been racing this year, but it's just like NASCAR. You could still be one of the best and fourth in points and not make the playoffs. But I digress again. I need to stop. But so what's crazy though is night one should have been Brad Sweet's night. Well, if we're being honest and watching the whole entire race, I watched and rewatched it 3 times. To see if I saw what I actually saw. You know those lap cars that people like to complain about in NASCAR and how they get in the way and they cause problems and wreaking havoc? Oh, yeah. I spread sweet about that. It was a full effect. Full effect on Friday night. I was like, wait. Is this happening? Did I see this? And then I was like, hold on, that didn't just happen. So I rewinded, because, you know, I have the opportunity to do that with the internet. I was like, let me go back and rewatch. And I did, and I still thought I was going crazy. So I did it for a third time. I was like, no, that is actually what exactly happened. So, yeah, the big cat did seem poised to win. Led 29 laps. I guess the only one that counted is the one that he didn't lead, and Carson Macedo did lead, was the fact that Carson came out of nowhere. I'm not even lying. He literally, I wish we had audio of Dale Jr. He came out of nowhere and pulled a slider, because that's exactly what he did.
He did.
I mean,
he got that
he
last
really
lap
did.
Pass.
That's all that matters. The last lap is the only one that'll count and make bank, and I mean, the 41 capitalized. Granted, yes, there was a lot of lap traffic and bad positioning in that lap traffic as well. So that's exactly what caused Brad Sweet not to win Friday night, lap traffic.
And we go to Saturday night, the big night, the night of the Ironman 55, where we're going to crown a new Ironman for 2022. Christina, we see the exact same podium. Just a little different at the top, but it's the same 3 guys on the podium as the night before, only this time Brad Sweet got her done from the pole.
Yeah, there's no denying him on Saturday. There was no denying. He was like, oh, no. I am not going to keep doing this. He's like, no, we need to do this. And ironically enough, I don't know how many, granted, everyone follows different racing for different things, but that is his first ever Ironman 55.
Isn't that crazy?
I would have assumed, granted, I shouldn't, but I would have assumed he would have already have won the Ironman. Granted, I follow it, and I was still a little shocked when I was like, wait, it's his first one? Because he's that good, you just expect talent like that to have already had one. Granted, this year also was his first career win at Williamsburg Speedway, too, in July. So, I mean, hey, that was crazy. But, yeah, finally getting it done, getting that Ironman. There was no stopping him. And he was pretty he even said it in his post-race interview. He was pretty pissed off and that it was his fault and he left the guys down the night before. He blamed himself. I wouldn't necessarily blame him. I'd be like the NASCAR guys. I'd be blaming the last traffic that didn't get the hell out of the way. You know, that's exactly what that was. That was crazy. Didn't get out of the way.
And in fact, if you look at the results from night two on Saturday, the top four guys started 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the top four, actually, were the top four Friday night as well.
Oh, boy. You're echoing. You need to pick one. You need to pick one.
I know. Stand by. All right. There we go. Is that better?
Yeah. You're better. But yeah. I could hear you and me.
Yeah. Anyway, Saturday night was the same finish Friday night with the top four. Donnie Schatz getting coming in fourth there on Saturday night as well.
Right. Which is fine. And it's good because these guys are doing what they need to do leading up into one of the biggest races of the year, which is scheduled to start in 2 days.
Yeah, that is going to be a fun weekend this upcoming weekend to watch as the World of Outlaw, as actually not just the World of Outlaws, it's going to be anybody and everybody in sprint car racing is about to invade Knoxville. So that is going to be a fun weekend. But
they already did. It's been invaded. This isn't just 410 racing either, to the folks that are new, that are waiting to hear the great interviews that are going to happen in a little bit. This isn't just 410. We have the 360s, which are going to be running there as well, which is a great series. You'll see lots of great guys out there racing too. I mean, they had some great racing this weekend in preparation for this race this weekend. I mean, I wish I had, like, the funds, and I wish my job paid me to do this cool stuff all the time because I would be there in a heartbeat.
Yep, you and me both. I would love to go to Knoxville Raceway one day and check some racing there. But before we get that all kicked off, we will talk about the series points because this win on Saturday, this Ironman 55 win, on Saturday, gave Brad Sweet his third win of the season. He kind of opened up the points lead a little bit on David Gravel. David Gravel not having the greatest weekend in Pevely, Missouri, but Brad Sweet now with a 68-point lead over Gravel. Macedo in third with his 8 wins. Sheldon in fourth with his 8 wins. Now, Carson has opened up the points on Sheldon a little bit. He's pulled away from Sheldon a little bit there. Donnie Schatz, 2 wins on the year, 5th. Logan Schuchart, 1 win still on the year for Logan. Logan, again, not having the best 2022. Shark Racing is having a decent year with 4 wins on the year, but Logan still... it appears that he's still trying to play catch up and figure out what exactly is amiss with that team and that car for this year. But he is sitting 6th in the points with that win. James McFadden, 7th. Spencer Baston with 2 wins this year, 8th. Jacob Allen, the other half of Shark Racing, he has 3 wins on the year. Sitting 9th, Brock Zierfoss, 10th, rounding out the top 10 with a win. Christina, for people listening, you know, Jacob Allen's got 3 wins. How's he in 9th place? How's he so far back in the points? But you can't just look at the win column. We talk about this a lot with especially Brad Sweet, David Gravel as of late, even Carson Macedo this year. Consistency is what gets you higher in the points, Christina. Consistency and podiums, and that's where we see Brad Sweet, David Gravel, Carson Macedo finding their way to the top of the points. Christina, you know, there's been 47 races. Brad Sweet's got 40 top 10s, same as David Gravel. So you can get the wins. You can have the wins. I mean, look at Sheldon. He's got 8 wins on the year. He's 150 points out from the lead because he's got 34 top 10s to Brad Sweet's 40.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about certain drivers as much as I would be about other ones. I mean, at this point, we're going to talk about the top five way more than we will the rest because that's just where we're at points-wise. Now, going Knoxville's a baddie. Knoxville's going to either make or break you in this top five. So if you're in the top five, you've got to bring your, you know, A-plus game. Because if not, you can plummet in these standings real quick. There's not a terrible gap between first and fifth. It's manageable. That's a manageable gap, I think. And if I'm Brad Sweet, you may want to worry a little because David Gravel could turn it up and tear it out. I mean, he was great at Bristol. These are tracks that David Gravel can thrive in. These are tracks that Carson Macedo can thrive in. Sheldon just needs to make sure it's not a wrecker every week, you know, every race. That's his problem. You know, Sheldon probably would be sitting second or third, or even with the points lead, mind you, had he not been a wrecker instead of a checker a couple races. I mean, yeah, for sure. That's like the crazy polar opposites that happened for him this year. And most of the time, I get it. Some of it was not of his own volition, and it's not his fault. There's some things that happened that should have never happened. But, you know, and the rules, I mean, World of Outlaws need to, you know, they AKA stand by decision, but they shouldn't have. But anyway, that's besides the point. It's just, he needs to be a little wiser with certain things to get out there and be great with it. But we'll see.
Yeah, he just, he definitely likes to live life right on the edge. they call that cushion in dirt racing, but he definitely rides that cushion sometimes a little too high for those on his team's liking, I'm sure, but he gets it done when he can. So the sprint cars will be at Knoxville this weekend. And we've also, in the World of Outlaws, we also had some late model racing. Christina, I know you love to talk about this. The late models were also in the Midwest. They were a little bit more north of Pevely, Missouri. They were up around New Richmond, Wisconsin at Cedar Lake Speedways. Christina, it was the USA Nationals for the late models, and we had a couple winners up there for the USA Nationals. Back-to-back USA National champs.
Yeah. I mean, we got... I'm joking. But no, it's a great 4 days of racing. It started on Thursday, obviously. We see a guy I've watched race for quite a bit of my life. I don't know if that's calling him old or not. Probably is, but that's okay. So Mike Marlar gets that win on night one. And I mean, who doesn't like seeing this? I like the old guys winning. I mean, it's great. You know, he ends up winning. We see Brent Larson and Tanner English taking on that podium spot as well. So night one was a great, you know, a great podium. Bunch of young guys and the oldie in there kicking it back and, you know, doing what he does best. He probably hates being called that, but
and the night one, the pole sitter. Not having a good night on night one, starting first and finishing dead last, getting a DNF.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the sucks for Davenport. But, I mean, night one was shitty for Davenport. But then the rest of the weekend was not. I mean, we're being completely honest, and we're just going to throw it out there. I mean, Mike Millar, obviously, all smiles and, you know, doing the best he can. But then, you know, we get into it. And, I mean, Jonathan Davenport, you know, decided, oh, I finished dead last, night one. It's okay. We're going to go into night two. Now, mind you, night two was quite, there was no, like, feature or anything like that. Friday night was more so just, you know, who's going to start where for Saturday's big race, because, let's be honest, Saturday was 100 laps. They're not going to run heat races and everything else Saturday. So that's the thing. They ran those on Friday, so you got to see everything. But Jonathan Davenport's like, I'm going to start on the pole. So for the U.S. Nationals pole dash, mind you, there's a dash. You pick your spot. You know, you got a race to be in that top, you know, eight spots. And that's what he did. So Jonathan Davenport won the dash, which put him on the pole for Saturday night's feature. Mind you, we did see Big Sexy in this race.
We did. All weekend he was up there, not having a great night the first night himself, but having a decent run on night two, not finishing where I'm sure he wants to finish. But yeah, he made up quite a few spots on night two to at least salvage a top 15 finish.
Which is weird. How is it he won heat one in session one? I mean, didn't win it, but he finished second. But the way this worked, which I'm still not sure I fully understand it or how it happened. But, I mean, they did two sets of heat racing, and that is crazy all over the place. I don't know what the heck was up and down trying to follow this along or anything like that. So you basically just had to figure out what you were doing and get there and be there. And, I mean, it happened. So we figured out the lineup on for Saturday, and, well, he wouldn't be denied. So, no. No, go ahead.
Yeah, it looked like it was a good race. On Saturday night, again, like you said, Jonathan Davenport getting the win, beating out Chris Madden and Tyler Erb. That was your podium. Mike Millar on night two finishing sixth. Brandon Overton finishing 11th. Christina, I noticed, too, you know, looking at these guys on the World of Outlaws website, you can go to worldofoutlaws.com. You can find schedules, results, points, everything like that. Looking at the drivers that race the late models, Christina, you don't see, it's almost polar opposite of the sprint car drivers. Sprint car drivers, a lot of them from California, PA, Ohio, you know, northern guys in the sprint car series. The late model drivers, you got a lot of Georgias, Kentuckys, Carolinas, Texas, Louisiana.
Yeah.
You got a lot of southern boys in the late models. It's almost like, you know, polar opposite of the sprint cars.
We are the southeast region is the life of, you know, late model racing.
Yeah.
So that's the best part is late model racing is very well known in these parts. I mean, and in Pennsylvania and everything as well. But a lot of these drivers do come out of those southern bred states. And let's be honest, they have some great race car drivers that are even coming out of the Midwest that are the Midwest is brewing up some great light model racing and drivers, too. And, I mean, that's the greatest thing about it is they come from all walks of life, all varieties, different spaces and places. And, hey, I enjoy it. It's my favorite part of the year is seeing light model racing. And these guys will beat and bang and tussle and fight. For 100 laps.
Yeah. For $100,000.
100 laps. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at the late model schedule, I mean, even the schedule is a lot of, you know, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas. Even a lot of the tracks that they go to is in that southeast part of the country. So I guess maybe it makes sense that a lot of the late model drivers that have made it to the big time, World of Outlaw, the Lucas Oil, those guys come from that part of the country because that's where you see a lot of these big races at.
Wide open spaces. That's where great racing comes from. That's where great late model rivalries will come from. And, I mean, I, on the other hand, I came from a very small area in Pennsylvania. Granted, there's lots of farmland and stuff where we're from. And mind you, in probably an hour and a half, we could hit or see about 8 different late model tracks. That's just how good it was, like, growing up. And, I mean, mind you, now where there used to be one of the best racetracks in Pennsylvania is now a strip mall. So that's the worst part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why we try and say every show, you know, go out and try and go to your local small town short track, whether it's dirt racing or asphalt, at least once, twice a year. Get your butt in the stands and check out a race. Trust me, Christina, she tried to get me into dirt racing for so long, so many years. She told me I was missing out.
Like 15.
Out. Yeah, told me I was missing out and this and that and everything else. And yeah, whatever. And I finally go to Wayne County Speedway for an all-star sprint car race.
I'm pretty sure I was there, was I not?
You were there. You were there
not,
for...
Yeah, that's the one I showed up for.
You were there for my first time. So you helped me... You helped me get there, so, but no, it's great. I love it. I was hooked from the very beginning. Now, the wife, on the other hand, she's not big on dirt races. She'll go to Jennerstown with me every other week if I went. But the dirt racing, she's still not big on the dirt racing. But
I'll tell you what, I'm
hooked.
Bryce.
Yeah, Bryce loves it too. Oh, yeah, he loves it.
We got to get
back out
18,
to Wayne
so.
County.
He's 18 now,
easy,
so he can buy a race car.
No.
I said he can buy. I didn't say you. I said he can buy.
And who do you think is going to be getting those sponsorships for him? yeah. Anyway, but no, you know, like Christina said about, you know, where there used to be a track is now a mall. And that's one of the biggest things about this show when we started it. Yeah, we talk about the World of Outlaws. We talk about Lucas Oil. We talk about the All-Stars. We talk a little bit of NASCAR, not much. But this show started out as a way for small-town short tracks to come on the show, drivers to come on the show. We try and get them on when we can. You know, we talked to Ryan from Wayne County. We talked to Billy from Jennerstown. We talked to Big E from Lernerville. We go to PPMS. We try and have them on the show. You know, we had their PA announcer on the show. His name is slipping my mind real quick now, but we had him on the show. He's new to PPMS as their announcer. But, you know, we've had a lot of other small-town short tracks on the show, but that's what it's all about. You know, NASCAR likes to say they have their grassroots racing shows and everything. And, you know, they try and promote these racetracks and everything. But, you know, that's what we started out doing. That's what Christina was doing with her show, you know, having some of the drivers on her show that that are now in that. Ryan Ellis was on the show. Was Ryan Ellis on the show? You know, now look where he's at. What happened?
Okay, so mind you, I'm a little behind in life, okay, as we should all know. But where I worked when I was in Mifflintown, They just demolished the whole building. The building was brand new. So,
holy
for
cow.
Those folks that don't know, yeah, so those folks that don't know, I used to work at Sheets. So that's where every race car fan and driver used to go prior to racing and everything else. The original building I worked in was tore down, and they built the one that I was in until I moved. So this building, we've had this Sheets for, I don't know, this one's been around since a while. But I just saw this because, you know, Nancy, who used to help me with the show and do everything, just posted it. They just started demolishing. They started demolition on the Sheets that I basically worked in for, what, I don't know, 10, 11 years.
Wow.
So the first 3 years I worked there was in the other building. Yeah. My goodness. I was like,
wow.
Wait, I know what this equipment is. So, yeah, so they're demolishing this, and I guess end of October they're going to be back with a new building.
Huh.
What?
Wow.
Oh, apparently this building's 16 years old. So I worked in the old building literally for a year before this one. Oh, my. That sucks. Hmm.
Huh.
All right, sorry. Yeah, wow. That's crazy. Oh, and by the way, Sheets is also sponsoring NASCAR now. Did you see that?
No. I tried to get them on
yeah.
our show a couple years ago. They wouldn't do it. What can
I've
NASCAR
tried to get them on
them
every. I've tried to get them on every. I tried to get them on every sprint car team I ever worked for, and I worked there, my day job, and I got told no 18 times. You just stop trying after a while.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Hmm.
Oh well. Well.
Yeah.
The All-Stars are off. Lucas Oil's off. The World of Outlaws
well,
is pretty much running everything
they're
right now.
Kind of off. The All-Stars are on a break so they can run
yeah.
Knoxville. That's where everybody will be. Every series
yeah.
will be in Knoxville. But it's going
right.
to be a fun 4 days. I mean, I'm excited.
It all
I wish
starts
I was there.
Wednesday.
Thursday.
Wednesday, I thought.
Yes, the 10th, that's Wednesday. 4 days, so yeah. I can't. Is it Monday? Is it Friday? I don't even know what day of the week it is half the time. I'm just here.
So yeah, starting Wednesday.
I just do what the boss says.
Starting Wednesday, Knoxville will be a busy place to be at. So definitely someplace to circle on your calendar as some place to go. So I definitely have it on my bucket list of places
mm-hmm.
to go. So,
it's baffling. How do they have one of the biggest dirt racing weekends of the year coincide with Richmond? And mind you, I did Richmond for how many years? Yeah. I don't remember a lot. We go do the tailgate. We did that for many, many years. So, yeah, I missed a lot of dirt racing that weekend so I could do the PR and the, you know, everything for Slicks and Sticks and everything at Richmond. Granted, Richmond was always a fun time, and I have millions of pictures and lots of other fun things that we can't talk about on live radio as to what happened. Always some great stuff happened at Richmond. Those weekends were always the best. But those were night races, too. Still some of the best racing. Richmond at night. I don't know about it during the day.
Richmond should always be a night race. It is definitely
I agree.
A better night track. And speaking of that, I don't have any more for dirt racing unless you do.
I don't either.
Okay.
No.
Okay, let's move on. Because speaking of night racing, why in the hell? Why? We've been going to Michigan for 20-plus years, probably 30-plus years, 40 years. It is
yeah,
a
as
huge
long as I've
track.
Been alive.
They call themselves a super speedway because it's high-banked. It's fast. It's always been fast. I've gone there for 15 years. They don't
mm-hmm.
have lights.
Why?
It rains every time we go to Michigan. It's always in a rain delay. I think I've been to a Michigan race twice where there was no rain the whole weekend. Other than that, it always rains in Michigan, especially in August. Why don't we have light? Martinsville has lights. Why doesn't Michigan? I want to know. Why?
Maybe
Michigan.
Money?
Money? You sound just like Katie.
Well, maybe they can't afford it.
Well, maybe they should start putting some money into the track instead of, I don't know what they're doing with it, but come on.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of factors that have to happen, though, for lights to be, you know, put on a racetrack. I mean, Grant, I don't know all the pros, cons, politics, everything that goes into it. But I think there's, like, rules and regulations for certain, like, places that have to be followed. I don't know. I at this point, we're in 2022. I believe every racetrack should have lights on because Mother Nature can be a royal pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And if we're going to keep doing start times at 3:00 to, like, appease the television networks, then we got to have lights. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just saying. And why does NASCAR consistently keep going head-to-head with Indy?
Oh,
One weekend they didn't was the best weekend for ratings for all of racing was Indy. I mean, granted, that was some epic racing all across the board. Indy was great. That was phenomenal. I mean, I don't mind the road course. I mean, it could be the road course, it could be the oval. I don't care. As long as it's great racing, I don't care. It's fine. Whichever you pick, I don't care. That was great. Now, mind you, I missed some of it, not all of it, because I was flipped back and forth because that's just who I am. Indy had one hell of a show. I mean, not that we talk about Indy very often, but, oh, man, did it... can we do the street course at Nashville next? Because I just want to see how the tempers flare at NASCAR, if it's going to be anything like the tempers flaring during Indy. Now, that was crazy. And both old men won. No offense to Scott Dixon or Kevin Harvick, but they're both of the older generation and both decided to win on Sunday.
Yeah.
But
and,
race
Mother
fans
Nature...
had to pick and choose.
Mother Nature almost. She tried to spoil both races, because Nashville was getting quite a bit of rain down there as well. But Indy is not afraid to run on rain. Well, Indy's also not afraid to run in the rain.
Yeah, which they probably would have had there not been the lightning in the area.
Yeah,
but I mean
definitely.
The safety. But I mean, I just don't understand why they don't work together. It would make it a lot more appeasable to the fan base because, I mean, I enjoy watching both. I'm not that person that's, you know, pro NASCAR, anti-Indy, and I'm not pro Indy, you know, against NASCAR. And, I mean, the only reason I don't watch Formula One racing is because I can't get up at the freaking crack of dawn or 1:00 in the morning to watch. And that's because they're overseas 99% of the time. I'm like, wait, what? So, that's too early for me. Yeah. I mean, IMSA is a lot for me. I watched that, by the way. Wow. Before NASCAR came on, USA was had IMSA on. So I got to watch Wayne Taylor Racing win due to the fact that the 60 car made a terrible misjudgment call on their own. No hope from anybody around them. And caused himself to lose the points lead. And that was Wayne Taylor's first win at that track as well. Which was shocking because I would assume they would have won by now. They have so many wins at Daytona, but that was their first win on Sunday at that track. But either way, hey, all in all, it was fun. I just don't like that we have 3 o'clock start times every weekend. We have tracks without lights. And, I just feel everybody should have lights.
Awesome. I'm under a severe thunderstorm warning. Okay. Well, if the power goes out,
I hope not.
Oh, my. That radar does not look good. Let's take a quick commercial break. We are done with the first hour, Christina. We got through it. So let's take a quick, we'll take 2 commercials. We'll do 357 Woodworks and we'll do Barbasol. We'll get them on, let them promote themselves. And then when we come back on the other side of the break, Christine and I will start talking NASCAR, our league. We'll find out how Michigan was, where the NASCAR point standings stand for that as well. And then hopefully Carson races till I think 9 or 9:15. So hopefully sometime around the 9:30-ish mark, we will get Scott and Carson on. Now, that interview will probably run past 10 o'clock. So if you want to hear the whole interview, listen to the live portion up till 10. At 10 o'clock, restart the show, and then you can just fast forward all the way to, like hour 50 or hour 45 or whatever, and you can listen to the entire show because it does archive when it goes past 10 o'clock. So stay tuned for all that. That's all coming up right here on the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game.
357 Woodworks is a high-end quality handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at 357 Woodworks. 357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at 357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at 357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847.
For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
are coming over tonight.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Fast Lane Sports Show presented by Hardcore Fishing Game. Be sure to go to hardcorefishinggame.com today, tomorrow, this week, whenever you have a chance, and check out their great line of clothing. Christina, Michigan, we talked about it. No lights, rain delay, a little bit of a rain delay, about, what, an hour and a half rain delay before they got started. Finally got started, and once we got started, it was great. It was a great race. I watched most of it. We went out to eat real quick, came back, watched the end of it. I think the last 10 or 15 laps. I was praying that there wasn't a caution.
I was doing every kind of dance you could think of to not have a caution come out.
I bet.
And then
Daniel Suarez almost
man, my boy,
caused.
He gave me a scare, okay? He gave me a scare because I was just like, no. I was like, please don't. And then I'm like, I see little particles coming out the back, and I'm like, don't you dare, tire.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh. I'm like, please no. And then he got slowed down enough, and that thing did not shred. But, oh, man. It was a great race, though. A lot of people did good. A lot of people probably should have done better, struggled. Then you have Denny Hamlin, who made critical errors, and so did his crew, which caused problems for them. Again, mind you, if Denny Hamlin didn't have the wins that he, like, if Denny Hamlin wouldn't have the points and the wins he has, I don't think he'd be in the playoff situation he's in.
Oh, for sure. For sure not. If he didn't wins, he would definitely be, he would be down there around the 20. He'd be down around Austin Dillon, Chris Buescher. He'd be down with those guys if he didn't have the two wins. But, it was a great race. Michigan is always a good race. I love going there. If you've never been to Michigan to see the race in person, you've got to go to Michigan, especially if you live around this area. It's only a few hour drive, but you can stay, up around Detroit, and then it's only about an hour maybe to the track. It's in a beautiful area of Michigan, up in the Irish Hills of Michigan. It's scenic and it's beautiful on the way there. The where the track sits is beautiful. It's a great track. It's big. It's fast. It's loud. I've been in the stands for races. I've been down on pit road for races. I've been in the media center for races. It's just overall, it's just an awesome place to go, and it's always great racing. Christina, for so long, this was a fuel mileage race, really. You had to play your cards right at this track because if not, you would run out of fuel. Stages have kind of eliminated the fuel racing of this race, but still, it's still a great race every year. I love the Michigan race. There are a few races that I actually try and watch on the TV, and Michigan is definitely one of them. But Christina, yes, you picked. You were the only person to pick Kevin Harvick.
Yeah.
And he came through finally. He waited long enough. He was giving his fans a scare, definitely. 23 races he waited till he finally got that win. Christina, he punched himself in to the playoffs with that win.
Well, as of right now.
As of right now. But he's also...
We got to put a little asterisk there right at the moment because we don't know what's going to happen. We got too many races left.
We've only got three races left, but even if we hit three new winners, he's got enough guys below him now. I think he's safe. Who is not safe because he's ninth in the points. So you figure you've got Austin Cindric. He is 16th. So if we get...
Yeah, he's not safe.
If we get two more winners, I wanted to talk about that.
Kurt Busch is 20th in points. Oh, my bad. Yeah. Okay, I jumped a gun. My bad.
Yeah, we'll talk about him because I have a question about him. But, yeah, so we've got three races left. We've got 15 drivers with a win, Christina. Ryan Blaney, mm-hmm. who sits fourth, he sits second in the points right
He's
now.
Second in points.
In the regular season standings, Ryan Blaney sits second. But if we get another new winner, like let's say Martin Truex Jr. does get a win this weekend, Christina, that would knock Ryan Blaney out. But let's say Ryan Blaney wins then at the Glen. Let's say he gets a road course win. That would knock Austin Cindric out because Austin Cindric is 16th in points, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it would knock Kurt Busch out.
It would knock Kurt Busch out. If you look at the point standing, Austin Cindric is still safe. He's in a quote-unquote a little safe territory because Kurt Busch mathematically is sitting 20th in points. Don't ask me any questions on if he's even going to get a waiver to be allowed in the playoffs.
Okay,
personally, he has been quote-unquote said there's a waiver, but how long can you do the waiver for? Because technically, I'd be a little irritated at the fact that I'm higher in the regular season points and I'm the one being booted out. I mean, they're going to have to look at this if it comes to that. So everything's going to hinge on these next three races because, I mean, they're not lying. We have the possibility of seeing 16-plus winners. I mean, it's just you've got to hope if you are Ryan Blaney or you are Martin Truex Jr., you bring and you better be the best car the next 3 weeks because if not, you're screwed. And we're going to see the fourth place and potentially right now the second place driver in regular season points fail to make the playoff. And why is that? Because wins matter more. And that's the craziest thing because Martin Truex Jr. has 7 stage wins, which is the most. But yet he's on the outside looking in. That's where you've got to figure it out. Yeah, stop racing for stage wins. At this point, him and his crew chief and the team need to have a sit-down, which they probably did this today, to figure this out because they need to stop going for the stage win. At this point, the only win you need to talk about is the one at the end, and that's the only one that matters.
Yeah. Martin Truex Jr. sitting fourth. He is out because of Kevin Harvick getting a win. But, Christina, we've got three races left. Listen to the three races we have left. Richmond, the Glen, Daytona, short track, a road course, and a wreck fest super speedway, where Daytona, anything can happen at Daytona, literally.
Yeah.
Well, look at what just happened at the Indy road course. Well, who's to say that doesn't happen at Watkins Glen? Watkins Glen has got a couple treacherous corners that produce some wrecks. So you get a wreck mid-pack, and you've got some drivers due to pit stops and pit strategy, you get some drivers close to the rear and you have a wreck mid-pack, you could see like we saw at Indy. Look at the drivers that didn't even finish the Indy race. So, Watkins Glen is not going to be a walk in the park either. So we've got three races left at three totally different types of tracks. We've only got one playoff spot left, really.
Essentially.
So let's say Truex gets a win at Richmond. He's pretty good. Toyota's pretty good at Richmond. That knocks Blaney out.
He likes Richmond.
Yeah. And then you've got a road course coming up. Austin Dillon has not been too shabby on road courses as of the last couple years.
Neither has Trackhouse Racing, which then if you're one of these guys like Martin Truex Jr. and Ryan Blaney, you need to be concerned with somebody getting a second win as well, because, like, if Trackhouse were to win another road course, mind you, they're very good at road course racing. I mean, you're looking at some of these guys that are the king of the mountain when it comes to road course racing. You've got to hold back and hope that Chase Elliott has a bad day.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. You have to hope for that. And you've got to not be in anyone else's bullshit, which is what happened to Kevin Harvick for 4 weeks leading up to yesterday, is the fact that, you know, everybody decided to play. Yeah, they had a car. It wasn't that they did anything wrong. It's the fact that everyone around them was dumb or tried to do payback, or just thought, you know, if I could wreck this one guy or wreck the whole front of the field, it's not going to matter. But yet it did, and it took out other – but that's besides the point. Totally different show. But,
And you got to think, too, Christina, we've also got Daytona coming up. And look at the drivers down below that yellow line that don't have a win yet that have won at Daytona. Austin Dillon, again. Michael McDowell, he could play a spoiler in this playoff thing. Harrison Burton, Brad Keselowski, he knows his way around Daytona and super speedways. So you've got a handful of guys below this cut line. Ryan Blaney is not safe at all. He will be holding his breath until the checkered flag flies at Daytona.
Or until he gets a win.
But, you've got some guys below this yellow line that are going to be using these next three races to get into the playoffs, especially Brad Keselowski. How bad does Brad Keselowski want to make the playoffs in his first year, you know, at RFK, and his teammate Chris Buescher has been not too shabby this year either. He's been on the edge and the brink of getting a win. He's right there. So Keselowski coming over to Roush Fenway has definitely made that team a lot better this year than they have been showing in the last few years. So I wouldn't count either one of those teams out. Harrison Burton has been showing a lot of strength the last couple weeks now. He got taken out yesterday. I believe he was involved in that wreck.
Yes.
Yesterday.
He was.
So that sucks for him. But
all
Harrison
three rookies
Burton,
were actually in that wreck.
Harrison Burton has been showing some strength as of the last few weeks as well. And let's talk about some of these young kids. Noah Gragskin was running up front with Ty Gibbs for a long time yesterday. So those two showing some strength and their cars as well.
Yeah, and I mean, mind you, Ty is playing relief driver. Well, not playing, but is in the role of a relief driver right now. Noah is only part-time, as well in that car with the 16 and the colleague racing. But that 16 has showed a lot, and he was running very well. He does good at Michigan. We saw that on Saturday. Both him and Ty Gibbs running up front again. Those two have shown a lot of strength and been able to maximize what they can in Xfinity and getting those laps in Cup, which is exactly what they want and they need to do. Mind you, yesterday the rookies had a bad day, not of their own doing. And then, look, the week prior, the rookies were all in the top 10. So, I mean, that's what it goes to show you. Sometimes you're the ball, sometimes you're the bat. And it just ended up not going the correct way for the rookies yesterday. But, mind you, it didn't go very well for Denny Hamlin parts of the race, but Denny Hamlin ended up finishing in the, you know, obviously up there in the front. I don't get how. I thought he had to go to the tail end of the longest line, but ended up 10th. It was so weird how that all happened. But, I mean, it was just back and forth. It was a great race yesterday. And, I mean, Bubba Wallace has had the best 2.5-3 weeks of his career. And I just, I don't know him personally. I don't like some of the things he said in the past, and it's, you know, it's my own prerogative. I just don't like sometimes when drivers verbally abuse their crew and their crew chief or anything to that nature. But he's had the best 3 weeks of his career, and he just, you would have thought he got wrecked on the last lap, just the way, you know, he had that interview. I mean, he really needs somebody to help him. That, I don't know if it's he gets too down on himself or if it's that he's there's an unsurmountable pressure on him to win a race now because, you know, because Kurt Busch already has. I don't know if it's a combination of all that stuff, but, man, he needs a pep talk or something because you would have thought he got wrecked and destroyed and didn't finish second yesterday.
I mean,
he has nothing to hang his head about, though. He finished second. He ran a great race, pretty much an entire race where very little went wrong for that whole team. That whole team had a lot go right.
Well,
for, like,
and
the first time.
And you figure, too, he hasn't done too bad at super speedways, and that's how Michigan races.
Right.
You know, he did go
exactly.
to Atlanta. He does go to Talladega, Daytona, Michigan. He's a super speedway type of driver, which we're not going to get into it here on the show. If Jeremy was listening, we would get into it, but I'm not going to talk about that here on the show right now today. But, yeah, I missed the interview.
That it was a great race for him. I'm not a big supporter, and we all know that, and we all know why, and it has nothing to do with the color of his skin at all, not in the least bit. I just don't like the way some drivers talk to their crew members.
Yeah.
But it's just, you wouldn't have thought he finished second to Kevin Harvick yesterday.
How he interviews all the time. He's, you know, like, I don't know, that just seems to be...
He needs a more positive outlook. I just hope somebody finds it for him or, like, helps him in that aspect because he has the potential to be all the best and the greatest he can be. He just – I think he puts himself down to the point where it's never going to happen because he puts himself in the bottom of the barrel, which he shouldn't. He has the car, you know. They're giving him great equipment. And he's proven that in the last 3 weeks. Mind you, in the last 3 weeks, we haven't seen the same track, though, either. So he's getting better. He just, I don't know. Michigan just proved that he can, you know, it is that super speedway-esque thing. And if he gets a win, if he can get a win, that's really going to throw some things out of the loop for some of these guys. And that's another driver I don't think, like Ryan Blaney and Martin Truex Jr. were really thinking about in this situation, or Eric Jones for that matter. Runs well at Michigan. You picked him. It is his home track. Had a great day. He had a great couple weeks. Last week he ran well too.
He's not too shabby at Richmond either. He's got that short track type of racing to him. I think all three of the next races. I think the next three races, you have got to watch out for Eric Jones, Austin Dillon, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Brad Keselowski. I would throw Michael McDowell in that mix just because of Daytona. And even the Glen, I guess. Michael McDowell is a road
He's
course racer.
He's great on road courses.
So, you know, you've got five drivers right there who are strong. And the next several tracks are in all of those drivers' wheelhouses. So you cannot sit back. You know, you've got but to play spoiler of getting another new winner, you've also got Denny Hamlin. You've got Chase Elliott. You've got Kyle Busch. You've got Kevin Harvick again at Richmond. So you've got some drivers who have wins now that could get another win in the next three races as well, because they're all good at those tracks also, especially Richmond. Kyle Busch at Richmond. I would never bet against Kyle Busch at Richmond either. So, and you know, he's frustrated over the finishes that he's had the last several weeks, especially at Pocono, and then, you know, at Indy, and then Michigan getting taken out. He's going to be frustrated.
Some of this wasn't even his fault either. That's the thing. He's
right.
Falling into that Kevin Harvick category where he's always getting in somebody else's BS. And I mean,
he
had a great car.
Yesterday,
great car on Sunday.
I thought for sure it was either going to not be an interview or it was going to be a very Kyle Busch like interview. And it wasn't. He goes, look, I went high. And Almirola spun up, or was it the 10? Was it Almirola? No,
yeah.
Cendric. You know, he said, I went high, and it was just right there. There was nothing nobody could do. And he even made it sound like it wasn't really anybody's fault. It was clearly the 15 car got loose in the middle and just tapped Cendric or Almirola, whoever it was. That's what started it. So. But I was very surprised by his interview yesterday, because it was not, it was not a typical, except for the very last statement when she asked him, you know, his luck the last couple weeks. And, you know, he said, well, on a scale of 1 to 10 infinity, you know, about just the way it's been going.
Level, yeah.
Yeah. The frustration level. Yeah. So that was a Kyle Busch answer there. But the rest of the interview, you know, he said, hey, you know, it was just, it was racing. I went high. So did he, and took him out. So, but
I live for Kyle Busch interviews. That's
yeah.
My favorite thing. It doesn't matter whether win, lose, wreck, or something happens. I live for the Kyle Busch interview.
Right.
I will literally tell everyone that's watching at my house, or not, or, you know, I'm like, everyone has to be quiet, because literally if you're not, I get upset, because then I gotta rewind and re-listen to it. It's like, no, everyone be quiet.
Right.
We're gonna miss something if we don't be quiet.
Yeah, no, he, and I think, you know, I was a very anti-Kyle Busch, I admit, I was a
hater.
Yeah,
but now you like him.
For a while, I don't mind him. I think he is, well, I think ever since he became a dad, more of a family driver, I think he's changed as a driver,
the way he
drives. He's not as aggressive, you know. 7, 8, 9 years ago, you'd have seen Ross Chastain has taken over, I think, the driver's seat. He has filled Kyle Busch's driver's seat, his shoes. No, but just that aggressiveness, that shoot in the middle,
which
between
the sport
two cars
needs.
You know,
just
and,
saying.
And oh no,
we
I
need
I
more
agree.
Drivers like that.
I agree.
No, I'm just telling the rest of the universe that wants to hate on it. It's needed, folks, or you're going to have extremely boring racing.
It is. And but that's where you get your disliked fans, you know, that's where you get your haters from, is guys that hate seeing that, because they are good at it. Ross Chastain is good at shooting that middle like Kyle Busch was, and getting 3-4 positions in one corner. And he's kind of picked up where Kyle Busch has left off. But Kyle Busch has completely changed as a driver. I don't mind him now. In fact, I'd rather see him win than 3 or 4 other drivers. So, you know. Including a teammate or two of his, but no, I don't mind Kyle Busch as much anymore. He kind of grew on me, so I love that interview.
He's got great one-liners. That's what makes him great.
He keeps the media on their toes. That's for sure.
I think he keeps everyone, even everyone watching at home, are like, what's going to happen now? I will say, during that particular wreck, I enjoy hearing, I want Steve Letarte in a booth permanently because he's 100% brutally honest, whether you like it or not. He is honest to a T with some of 99% of the stuff that comes out of his mouth in the booth. I enjoy Steve Letarte. I actually enjoy Dale Jr. in the booth, too, because Dale Jr. still gets excited.
Yeah.
You know, he still gets excited about racing. And during that wreck, there was everything. You had Steve Letarte wondering what in the hell the 15 was doing there. And brutally honest about it. And then you got Dale Jr. like, oh, my God, he hit the wall. You know, it's what makes great television.
Yeah. Yeah, great commentary.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
It makes it 100% better.
What they did in the booth with those three, I think, is working very well. I think Junior taking over that role of lead commentator, I think that's a good setup, what they got there on the broadcast so far this year. I think that's
great.
I'm not
a huge fan of Jeff Burton.
No, but he brings that other driver aspect to it. You know,
way entirely too hard on Ross Chastain though with certain things. And I get it, sometimes it's warranted, but then other times it's not. I think that's where I have a little bit of issue with him. You know, it happens, but you know, it is what it is. I enjoy them on Saturdays too. Because they do pre-race on Saturday, obviously. They all do, you know, they're there on Saturday. I enjoy them on pre-race because I just get a kick out of watching them on the pre-race show. Not only that, it's whether or not they're going to pick Noah, which, mind you, this past weekend was the first time, I think, in the entire time I've seen Dale Jr. take his own driver. Well, at least Noah, for that matter. He's hardly ever taken his own drivers to win, which it still is pretty cool to me. So, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Do you know who's getting the 42 ride?
The 42? I didn't hear that. I missed it.
No, it's not been officially announced.
Oh. This is just coming from you?
No, it's all over the place. There's 100% rumor of who it's going to be. But
I didn't even hear it. Who?
Noah.
Oh.
That is the rumor, that he will go to Petty GMS and field the 42 car next year. I kind of hope it doesn't happen, just because I'd rather him hold out and do another year of Xfinity for a better ride.
Well, but at the same time...
Better equipment.
At the same time, though, he needs to get used to this car before he goes into better equipment.
That's why he runs part-time with colleagues. Just do another part-time year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This is my personal opinion. I would rather him hold out and wait another year. No offense, there's nothing against Petty GMS Racing. They're doing better. They're getting there. I just would rather him run a Chevy bow tie for, like...
Wow.
I mean, which could happen, because we don't know what's going to happen after next year for certain drivers at Hendrick either.
That sucks.
I think
I like
Alex
all
Bowman
four of them.
And them. I do too, but they're having a terrible year.
Yeah, but you know what?
Alex Bowman has had a rough year. Let's be honest.
What sucks? I'm going to say it. You know, I'm not. Never mind. We'll just move on.
Let's talk about our league. Let's talk about the league before your guest.
Well, I don't.
I'm sorry.
It's after 9:30. No. I don't know if they're coming on tonight.
Okay. Well, Petty GMS is having a driver announcement on Wednesday. That has been confirmed. I can tell you that's 100%.
I'll tell you what though. I like Ty Dillon. I love Ty Dillon. He's a good kid. He's nothing like Austin.
He's a great driver.
I would love to see
Ty Dillon. He was great.
I would love to see Dylan get a Ty get a win. But I would love to see Noah come into that 42 next year and get a win, like, right away. That would be, you know, no offense to Ty, but I would love to see Noah jump in that car and start winning right away to help his chances of getting into that bigger ride eventually.
Yeah. Well, ironically enough, they both have one of the same sponsors, and that is Black Rifle Coffee. Now, Black Rifle Coffee, if you haven't had it, folks, it is amazing. Whether you get it in a can, you brew it, it's great coffee. I enjoy the stuff that comes in the can already ready to go. It's like a little energy drink boost. It's a lot of caffeine, and I probably shouldn't have more than one of those a week. Saying, I get a little excited. I get a little crazy when I drink more than one of those. But it's great coffee, and, I mean, they've been Noah's sponsor for, 2 years now, I think? 2 or 3 years, two I'm almost certain for. And they're also on the 42 car as well. So that's kind of where I assumed there was going to be, well, if you want to keep the sponsorship, bring our driver in. I mean, I don't know if that's an underlying play in things. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. Mind you, I don't have sources like I used to. I've been out of the game a little bit with NASCAR. But either way, it's still great if he gets the shot. If he doesn't and he's still at Junior Motorsports, there's nothing wrong with that either. He's doing amazing stuff there. One of the best drivers you could have at Junior Motorsports right now, minus, you know, Justin Allgaier, who has a couple more wins. But no, those that's what it's all about. The sponsorship, younger, and more money. And that's what he's bringing. And that's what Ty Gibbs is eventually going to bring as well. As much as some people don't want to see it happen, it's bound to happen. Whether it happens next year in the 18 or the following year in the 19. Because if I'm not mistaken, I don't know how long Truex's new extension was for.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. He's going to be in one of these. And him being a relief driver for Kurt Busch really shows that him and Noah both have aspects of what they need to prove and need to do in a cup car. And look, Noah raced Sunday. Even they said it even in the broadcast. Steve Letarte made the comment. Listen. Noah could have ran that in a lot harder and not shown respect and just destroyed Denny Hamlin and a couple other cars, but he didn't. He backed off, and he was still battling for position, folks. He was not a lead. He was not a lap down. Nothing had happened at this point. He was battling in the top 10 for real. It was what he was there for. He wasn't a lap car or anything. So that goes to show. He didn't make any dumb mistakes at that point. Something broke in the car later in the race, and that's what caused that wreck that he had all on his own. I'm pretty sure he didn't take anybody out with him in that wreck. But, yeah, I mean, this new car, though, has changed the game, too. Let's be honest. This car is a game changer.
Yeah.
Not always for the better, but it is a game changer.
Yeah. Definitely. There's some drivers that shouldn't get extensions and other drivers who should have a full contract. But we'll save that for another show when we have more time. What do you say? We got 20 minutes to go. What do you say we go ahead and sound up, cue up the penalty box sounder? We'll get that in now. And then we will chit-chat for the rest of the show. You ready?
Yep, about as ready as I'm gonna get.
All right. For those new listeners, that is our penalty box sounder. This is Christina's favorite segment of the show every weekend. Who you got for this weekend's penalty box, Christina?
Well, Mother Nature, just because I'm so tired of rain delays. Man, you know, they opted on TV telling us there was only actually two potential rain delays that could happen. Man, they already hit three. Come on now, Mother Nature. We have 3 p.m. race start time. I ain't got time for this. And I'm going to blame the TV networks because I'm tired of 3 p.m. race starts, man. I'm old. I got to go to bed. Like, come on now. Give me a 1 o'clock, not 3, or a noon, or give me a night race where I can sleep during the day and, you know, be ready to go at night.
Yeah,
the
1 o'clock.
That's my penalty box.
The 1 o'clock start times, I miss those. Those were great.
It's like a thing of the past or something. I don't know. It's like, why are all of a sudden 3 p.m.? And stop running against Indy. Give the fans what
right.
they want. Give me one during the early afternoon, morning, and give me one in the afternoon / early evening and call it a freaking day.
Right. Damn. I mean, I would, you know, why not start one at noon and one at 4? You know, then you can have racing all day. But
Make sure a track has lights.
Yeah. One of the tracks, either Indy or NASCAR, they'll be at tracks with lights, one or the other. They have to be. Somebody's got to be at a track with lights. So whoever has the lights runs in the afternoon, and whoever's got no lights, they run earlier in the day. Could be done, people. Let's do it. Or let's just get lights at every track. There's an idea.
Money.
Every track should have lights. Every single track should have lights.
True.
Because every single NASCAR race should be a night race.
Oh, boy. I don't know about every night. Every race should be a night race.
Every race.
I like some of them, but I don't like all of them being ran at night. I will say this. Can we put Homestead at night? Because I'm just sorry, but y'all trying to run Homestead Miami in the middle of the daytime. And by the way, when y'all come in here, it's still going to be hot. Just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what makes y'all think that running later in the year, it ain't going to be hot here. It's hot.
It's hot.
Right now, guys, we haven't seen a day outside of 102 degrees. That's the low.
That's crazy. I got a bad thunderstorm coming.
And y'all coming to Daytona in the middle of August.
Yeah, isn't that fun? No, it can't
nope.
be that warm. It won't be that warm.
I won't go.
It's a night race.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. August in Florida? No. Guys, I got married in August, okay? Mind you, my wedding anniversary is like 3 weeks away. But we got married in Ocean City, Maryland. And then we went to Disney. We went to Hollywood Studios last year to celebrate our wedding anniversary. Literally the worst mistake of our lives. Legitimately, August and Disney is a bad idea. There's no shade, first off, at Disney. Secondly, the low was 115. The real feel was like 120. I mean, and hot. No rain in sight. And Daytona is the same kind of aspect. There is no shade at Daytona. And y'all trying to run Daytona in August. That's the last race before the chase, which I get it. It's because it's a restrictor plate race and everybody likes carnage and damage race cars. That's what it's about. But that's rough. I mean, it's rough on the stands and the people in the stands, But we just saw the last 2 weeks, AJ Allmendinger's Cole suit failed. The last 2 weeks. It failed last weekend. It failed last weekend at Indy during the cup race in the heat set, and it was warm there, exceptionally warm. This weekend it failed in the Michigan Xfinity race, and it was, you know, it was quite warm. Noah had problems with getting sick both you know, during all that as well, the last 3 weeks too. So, mind you, it's hot for you in the stands. Just think about how these drivers feel and these crews feel, and you're going to run August Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like
I'll
to
tell
meet
you what,
the head of scheduling in NASCAR. That's all I got to say.
Problem is, Christina, it's hot everywhere. Doesn't matter. Where you go, it's hot. Hot everywhere.
Yeah, but we could run Daytona as the last the championship race in November.
That'd be sweet. I think
could
that'd
you
be
imagine,
a good idea.
Could you imagine the very first race of the year and the very last race of the year, Daytona?
I think that's how NASCAR used to be way back in the day. It started in Atlanta and finished in Atlanta. At one point it did. But
once upon a time. But
I don't know.
We need
a couple tracks up in Alaska. Let's run up in Alaska. It's gotta be cool up there right now. Run up there in the summer.
No.
Run more Canadian races in the summer, eh?
I mean,
cool
yes. Put the Canadian racetrack back on the schedule. I don't know why they ever came off. I do know why. But, I mean, there was some great racing when they raced in Canada. I'm just saying. There's great racetracks.
Xfinity raced in Mexico a few times.
Yeah. Yeah, way back in the day, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Way back in the day.
It could happen.
Listen to us. We're old. Way back in the day. Back in the day. I remember back in the day when...
I remember when it wasn't 120 degrees and we were racing at certain racetracks. Now, that's the normal, and it's, let me tell you, it's killer. I'm not lying, you guys. It literally has been like 102 is the low here.
I remember... when drivers had to race all 36 races for a championship, not just the last 10.
Well, if you're Denny Hamlin, you're not going to be there for the last 10 because your team's mistakes are going to really F you over.
Mm-hmm.
He is not going to make it out of the first round with the mistakes they've been making. There is no way. None.
They better get it figured out.
Oh, no. Are we in track for one? Are we going to get our first one of the year? Oh, speaking of weather. We're in the possible for one.
Hurricane?
It's a tropical depression as of right now.
Mm.
Nothing too bad. Just bring lots of rain. We need, so it'll be all right. It's dry here.
Like, we need the rain bad, too. Yeah.
I guess that's why you're getting that nasty thunderstorm here soon. But let's talk about our points before we go off air, because I'm excited to talk about our league.
Yes. Yes, we started to, and then we didn't, did we? Oh, be quiet. Let me pull up the points here. Well, Christina leads the playoff standings with her 4 wins. So she's got 100. She'll start the playoffs with 120 points. Debbie, by herself.
Are you serious?
Now,
it's already 120?
Yeah, you get 5 bonus points for every win. And the points reset to 100 for the playoffs. So you're at 120 for the playoffs right now. Debbie's by herself with 3 wins. She's right behind you at 115 points for the playoffs. And you've got Jeremy, Chris, Rodney, Matt and Ty all down there with 2 wins. Everybody else with 1 win. Tasha and Anthony at the bottom of the playoff standings right now with no wins, 100 points. But, I mean, depending on how they draft, you know, nobody is safe in the playoffs. We saw that last year. Debbie drafted an excellent team and just tore up through the playoffs and got that championship. But for the regular season, Christina, Ty has absolutely ran away with the regular season points. He's got an 83-point lead over Jeremy, an 89-point lead over you. And then from there, it blows out the triple digits. Tristan's 132 back in fourth. Debbie in fifth, 156 back. I'm in sixth, 176 back. Anthony's in seventh, 199 back. And then from there down, they're 200-plus behind Chris, Nick, and Tasha rounds out the top 10 there. So, but don't worry. I mean, these are just the regular season points. If Ty can hang on to that, he will be the regular season champion. But the points reset in the playoffs. And then that's where things will get mixed back up. Like I said, Christina, it'd be you, Debbie, Jeremy, Chris, and Rodney would be the top five then. So Rodney would go from dead last to being in the top five if the playoffs started this weekend. So don't be so hard down. You know, still you got three races left, especially Tasha and Anthony. You guys have three races left to get some playoff wins and bonus points. So you still want to be trying to pick those winners the next couple weeks. And any wins you get from here out just help you in the playoffs with those bonus points. So, you know, Tasha and Anthony, the max they can get is three wins. So, Christina, you've only got you're not safe from being out of first in the playoffs. With the people behind you that have the wins, but we need Tasha and Anthony. You guys are still looking for that first win of the season. Hey, listen, Truex and Blaney, they're still looking for that first win of the season too, so don't feel so bad. But that's where we sit in the playoffs. We have that nice regular season points championship basket that Debbie G Photography has put together. So Ty is on pace to win that for now. So excited about that and giving that to him if he does win the regular season points. But, yeah, Christina, we got a short track. We got a road course, and we got a super speedway coming up. Those are the last three races of the regular season this year. It's going to be interesting and fun to see if you and Jeremy can make a run at Ty, you know. If you look at this past week, we had how many of people picked Kyle Busch for Michigan, and you know, Debbie, Chris, Craig, Tasha, Aaron, they all went with Kyle Busch and only got 1 point. So, you know, Christina, you and Jeremy, you guys could make a big run, a huge run on Ty. If he has a couple bad weeks and you guys pick some winners, you guys can make up 80 points in a hurry. So the season has definitely been fun so far. I've enjoyed it. I'm having fun.
I look at it this way. If he wants the regular season, that's fine. Just don't be don't pull the Denny Hamlin, win the regular season but can't win the big one. Not the closer. This doesn't matter.
I think Ty did that the last 2 years, I think. He either won the regular season points, or he was first or second, and then the playoffs came, and he just, the team he drafted didn't make it. So, but
that's
no,
the whole
it's,
thing.
It's,
you have to draft the right folks.
Yep, and you guys, we're only three races from the playoffs, so you guys kind of have an idea so far of at least 16 drivers that are in. We might get a surprise couple drivers. You know, Truex is out now. So if you were thinking of drafting Truex, even if he doesn't make the playoffs, you can still draft him because it's four playoff drivers and one non-playoff driver. So, you know, it would suck for Truex to not make the playoffs, but there might be somebody who in our league who sees that as a huge advantage for them, because he could score some major points in the playoffs as a non-playoff driver for somebody. So I mean, there's always that to think about. Even if Truex doesn't make the playoffs, I guarantee
he'll be on. Why are you rooting for
on,
Truex?
I'm rooting for
you
Truex to
Truex.
Not make the playoffs. But I'm just saying, he's one of those drivers that I could see quite a few people in our league taking him as their non-playoff driver because he's a good driver.
Wait, what?
Man, that hurts
what?
To say.
Whoa.
I think I'm going to end the show now. I mean, but seriously, think about it. Look at some of the other non-playoff drivers. Would you rather have Ty Dillon or Martin Truex Jr.? I mean, come on, be serious. Would you rather have Bubba Wallace or Martin Truex Jr.? You know,
but if we're going with the last 3 weeks' performance, no, I would take Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace has better last 3 week performance.
No,
yeah, I know.
He got lucky. He got
so you,
lucky.
Well, everybody gets
Indy.
Lucky.
Half. Okay, there was what, 33 drivers, 34 drivers at Indy? 30 of them wrecked. So, of course, he's going to get a top five. When there's only four of you running, you're going to get a top five. I mean, come on.
Indy was the big clusterfuck.
Yeah, it was.
And they thought the Daytona road course was bad.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm excited. I can't wait to see how the next 3 weeks go. Richmond, the Glen, Daytona. It's going to be great for our season. It's going to be great for the NASCAR season.
I got one more piece of news for you. This is the coolest thing. I'm excited for this because he's from Pennsylvania. He's a native of Pennsylvania. I enjoy him. I enjoy his whole family. Great racing family. I mean, and he's adorable looking. Let's just be honest. He's got an adorable face. But what's super cool is Marco Andretti is going to make his Xfinity debut for Big Machine Vodka Spike Cooler Racing 48 at Charlotte at the Roval.
Oh, sweet.
I'm all for it.
Yeah,
I'm a huge Andretti fan. And a lot of people don't know that. But and they're from Nazareth, Pennsylvania, which is a nice town in Pennsylvania. And they also had a car lot and a repair shop where I lived before I moved as well. So, you know, Andretti's are everywhere, folks. You just don't know it, just so you know. You just don't know it.
And if there's a name synonymous with racing, it's Andretti. I mean, when somebody thinks racing, whether it's NASCAR or IndyCar or anything, Andretti pops up, Earnhardt pops up, Petty pops up. You know, there's several family names that are synonymous with racing worldwide. So, and Andretti's definitely one of those names. So good luck to him. I'm glad to hear that. That's great.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be the one and only race where I don't cheer for the 19. That's very rare.
That is rare. That is rare. We won't tell Noah, though.
For me, it's very rare.
Noah, plug your ears.
Yeah, don't.
Noah, plug your ears. Hopefully he already signed off. I'm sure he's not listening to the show anymore. If he is, Noah, call in. 657-383-1903. Hurry, call in, Noah. Let us know what you think. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, hopefully we get our special guests next week. I'll have to check in with Kelly and see if make sure everything's okay with them. And maybe we had a scheduling conflict. But we will definitely be getting Scott and Carson on soon. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for when we will have them on again. I really wanted them on tonight, but things just don't work out. But Christina, thank you to you for sticking out with my technical difficulties
here
at the beginning. I appreciate you. You have a great rest of your week, and we'll definitely be talking to you text messages and everything else. But until next week, have a great week. Tell Jim we said hi.
I will. I will let him know. Everybody have a great week. Remember, it is Knoxville, the season of Knoxville. So get yourself ready. We got 4 days of racing, dirt racing. Then we go racing at Richmond. Bring back the night race, Richmond. It's better. But until then, have a great night, and thanks for having me as always. Bye, y'all.
All right, that was my co-host, Christine. Everybody, we're running out of time. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Come back next Monday, 8 p.m. We'll be here once again for Christine. I'm your host, Pete. Till next Monday, see ya.